Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, Reiki Energy Practitioner, Teacher, Medium, and author of The Living Spirit, which shares intimate stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, and miracles, and ways to go within to access intuition and self. Today, I am delighted to welcome TJ Woodward, author of Conscious Being, a compelling resource for those out there seeking self-actualization and a connection to a natural condition that many are already aware exists within each of us. Hello, TJ, and thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much, Cheryl. I'm delighted to be here, and I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Great. You know, TJ, as listeners are well aware, Healing From Within is a show that over the years has developed a pattern, a good pattern. It invites guests to share their intimate awakening processes and encourages a way to live in our natural state of higher consciousness or being, or our dual nature as energy and physical beings. And it's often limited by the illusions of our early childhood patterns and the fears that the socialization process and family, friends, and teachers, and other realities have imprinted on our free and unlimited human and soul potential. In today's episode of Healing From Within, TJ Woodward will show us how the circumstances of our lives and what we call reality are created by our level of consciousness. We will discuss methods for unlearning and releasing self-limiting beliefs and the illusion of ego so we can come into alignment with an existence overflowing with compassion, love, and purpose. TJ Woodward is a spiritual author, speaker, awakening coach, and addiction counselor, and the founder of Awakened Living in San Francisco. He's also the host of Awakened Living TV and Awakened Living Radio. TJ, I always love to ask my guests at the beginning of the show to think back to a time in childhood, a person or event, values or interests that were important to them, and if the lifestyle and interests of their adult life were greatly influenced by that childhood.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I can think of circumstances kind of on both sides of the coin, if you will. I can think of moments in my early childhood where I shut down and closed off and had the experience of losing contact with my essential nature, and that really is what prompted me to write the book Conscious Being. I can also remember those moments where there were people in my life that saw me, that saw through all of that and saw my essential self. And the first person that comes to mind for me, there's two people actually that came to mind. One is my Aunt Peggy. She was such a delightful soul and just loved me exactly as I was. And it was really one of the first people I experienced that offered unconditional love. And I remember feeling so comfortable and so safe in her presence. And then also a high school teacher of mine, which is a little bit later than childhood, but she also really saw through the facade, through all of those barriers I had created into my essential self. So both of those two come to mind as early influencers, if you will, of me recognizing and identifying with my true self rather than all those barriers I had built up.
As we all build up and, you know, are continuously trying to erase or eliminate as we grow older and become more aware of what's really important in life. So you were also very impressed, and I read this, you were moved by your friend Mary Ellen, and she wrote, and I love this, Mary Helen's Seven Spiritual Truths, and I'm going to read them because they're very important. There's nothing wrong with you. There's only one of us here. The only prayer is thank you. God is within you. Nothing outside of you needs to change. Everyone is perfect just as they are. We're not here to get good, only to become real. And that's what I believe those two people that were important to you were able to do and show you how to do it. So those are seven very wonderful spiritual truths. But let's fast forward to you in modern life. Please tell us something about yourself in the present moment.
Well, my life's work, I will go back a little bit. Thank you for mentioning Mary Helen Brownell. When I was 20 years old, I met her, and by that time I had, been active in an addiction, and I had been seeking outside of myself to try to, connect with something outside of me, because I had a sense that there was something wrong with me. So she was the most influential person of my life, and to this day, the most enlightened being I'd ever met. And so today, the reason I'm going back to frame my life's work today is my early experience of shutting down and closing off, and then my experience of meeting Mary Helen and having this intense spiritual experience, and then later in life, kind of losing touch with spirituality. And then when I turned 40, which was about 10 years ago, my entire world came crumbling down, and that's because I made a commitment, and this may sound paradoxical, but I made a commitment to go deeper in my spiritual path. And what happened then is everything in my outer realm that I had built on a really shaky foundation crumbled, and I was really blessed with getting very deeply in touch with my life's work, which is really to be a presence for and assist people in this awakening process, which I call the great remembering, remembering the truth of who and what we are before all those strategies and barriers that we've built. So it really has informed my work to really be a presence for people in assisting them in their own awakening process.
Excellent. Now, you gave a beautiful quote, and I want to read it because it talks about what you just expressed so beautifully. If you want to awaken all of humanity, then awaken all of yourself. If you want to eliminate the suffering in the world, then eliminate all that is dark and negative in yourself. Truly, the greatest gift you have to give is that of your own self-transformation. And that was written by Leo Sulf.
That is such a beautiful quote, because to me, that's what we're really recognizing right now on the planet that's happening in such a powerful way, is each of us are recognizing that we are all essentially one, and that this isn't about fixing the world. This is about doing our own inner work, our own inner clearing, so that we can wake up to the truth of who and what we are, and that then has a profound effect on the world. So, he wrote that, 2,700 years ago, and isn't it amazing now how much it applies to our life today?
And now we're finding that we are evolving, and the world is at a place where it can feel those words in our hearts, so we can, one by one, join the truth of what evolution is and who we are as spiritual beings, having a wonderful physical life, just to learn more about ourselves and the world and the universe. So let's go on to, where did you get the title for your book, Conscious Being, and what was your motivation for writing this book?
Well, my book, my intention for writing the book was to write from my personal experience, and, they're often, I will read a spiritual book, and I'll read a paragraph and have to go back and reread it. And, sometimes the way particular authors write, the work becomes very dense. And I wanted to write a book that took some of these really deep mystical concepts and put them into everyday language that can be accessible to all of us. That really was my intention for writing the book. The name Conscious Being came from an Eckhart Tolle quote that from A New Earth that really stood out to me. And that is, conscious being leads to conscious doing. And so as I reflected on a title for my book, I recognized that conscious being is really about aligning with, or as we already said, remembering that essential truth of who and what we are. And from there, the doing becomes natural. And all through my 30s, I was all about doing, 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 without a lot of consciousness and without a lot of being. So that's where the title emerged from, and I'm just so grateful for Eckhart Tolle and his teaching. So it really came from him.
Yes, and you also wrote that in your 30s, you seemed to have lost everything you had worked so hard to achieve, and it was without much warning. But sometimes we need to let go of what we think is important to go on to the next step. And in terms of loss, I believe many people fear change and loss of a loved one, a home, a job, or an ability. But in truth, there really never is loss, only an opportunity to remember yourself and experiences. And Oprah wrote, "All of life is energy, and we are transmitting every moment. It appears, therefore, that every experience is learning to give and receive energy and love between souls." You know, in my book, The Living Spirit, I wrote, "Loved ones are never lost, but are still interconnected to us by energetic thread from the heart, allowing us to feel their wisdom and guiding us to discover new paths to happiness on the earth plane." So, TJ, yes, we are always on the road forward to create our best and most purposeful experiences.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So explain, what is consciousness? There are many ways, and each of us will perhaps see it a little differently. But it is important that we become clear with some of these important words, so we know what's happening within us, around us, with others. So explain what you think consciousness is.
Well, when we talk about consciousness, I think there's a lot of different ways we can frame it, or even maybe we could even say different types of consciousness. I know that when I think of consciousness, there is ultimate consciousness, which we could call God or source or love or light. It's that eternal, changeless truth, that beingness that we are, that we talked about coming into the world absolutely connected with. So we could say consciousness is God or is love, right? And then there's human consciousness. The human consciousness is our ability to perceive, and that's consciousness that can grow or change. We can grow in greater awareness. We can see things which weren't possible before because of our limited ideas and the collection of stories that we have about the world. So I have a whole chapter in my book about conscious evolution, writing from the framework that we can evolve and open up to greater possibility and seeing the world in a new way. So that term consciousness could be used interchangeably with awareness, and that again is our human consciousness or our ability to perceive.
And you also mentioned witness consciousness, where we are in touch with what is eternal. So we have our ego and our physical world, and we have our witness consciousness or our eternal world, and we have consciousness which survives physical death. So in other words, there really is no death. There is only a transition of energy from one level of intelligence and awareness to another. So I like that very much. That was a really excellent definition and understanding of what we're dealing with, and why you picked the title also for the book, Conscious Being. We go on to the role of the mind. Now, the role of the mind sometimes brings in this illusion of separation and causes a lot of problems in our thinking and in our relating to ourselves and to others, to perhaps religious concepts or what we want to do professionally. Separation is such a challenging issue for many of us. So can you tell us about that, the role of the mind in regard to the illusion of separateness from our mind?
Yeah, absolutely. Our minds, you know, the issue with our minds for many of us is we believe that we are our thoughts. And so that we could use, you know, the human mind and the ego interchangeably, you know, a collection of beliefs, of stories, of ideas, you know, a framework that we've created our life around. For most of us, you know, until we consciously begin to awaken and expand our awareness, we believe we are those thoughts. And so the mind automatically, its role is really to sort and separate and analyze. And it's a very powerful instrument. You know, I came into spiritual teaching at some point, I think in my 20s, and I thought the goal was to be rid of the ego and let go of the mind. And I thought the goal of meditation was to quiet the mind.
Absolutely. And then you go on to talk about an awakened life, which is recognizing actually our duality and knowing ourselves on all levels, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and knowing our multidimensional soul of energy and eternal life. You also give very good examples of what are signs of an awakened state and an unawakened living. So can you tell us something about an unawakened living state? Because people listening might recognize that they're still following some patterns that are holding them back from being clearer and awakening more fully. So give us an idea of that. I thought that was very good in the book.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And it really is perfect segue from what we just talked about, because what I mean by awakened living is waking up to the ultimate truth of who we are, which is that beingness, that conscious being that we are. And from there, we witness our thoughts, and we don't believe we are our thoughts. So I, in the book, I gave a couple of definitions or some clear signs of what we might call unawakened living, and then I had some clear signs of awakened living. So on the list of unawakened, blaming others for our unwanted experiences, judging people or situations as right and wrong or good and bad, wanting to control others, feeling superior or inferior, and then resistance to what is. So that's some of what I listed. There are a few more I put on there. And then clear signs of awakened living is experiencing oneness and connection, choosing acceptance and understanding, understanding a deep sense of connection and belonging, and then expressing authenticity and vulnerability in the world. And there's more, but that's just a few of them.
Well, I loved feeling comfortable in our skin, because I have seen over the years so many sensitive children. I've worked with children, and as a sensitive myself as a child, I remember how painful it was to be feeling other people's emotions and energies and not understanding why I was so uncomfortable. So when you get to align yourself to this higher energy and are your conscious being, or becoming more so that way, there'll always be growth, and we'll always be learning more, and we'll always be assimilating greater knowledge, because that's evolution and the unfolding and change, which is excellent. But I like that very much, to feel comfortable and to be unattached to outcome and letting things go, allowing, accepting, and surrendering, which is very hard for us because our mind and our personality and our training and our patterns insist that we follow some kind of order. And letting go, I was told when I began this spiritual awakening many years ago, to let go. And I had no idea what that even meant. But it is becoming easier in just accepting oneself and others and allowing the plan to unfold as it will. Now, what are you, and I'd also like to say something here in regard to what we're talking about. You gave another beautiful quote from Eckhart Tolle, and I'd like to read it because it's in alignment with what we're talking about now. Knowing yourself goes far deeper than the adoption of a set of ideas or beliefs. Spiritual ideas and beliefs may at best be helpful pointers, but in themselves they rarely have the power to dislodge the more firmly established core concepts of who you think you are, which are part of the conditioning of the human mind. Knowing yourself deeply has nothing to do with whatever ideas are floating around in your mind. Knowing yourself is to be rooted in being instead of lost in the mind. And I think our being is our soul, our heart essence, our eternal connection to all that is and was and will be, the future, the past, and the present all at once. So I think that's beautiful, and you did refer to that quote. So let's go on to talk about enlightenment being our natural state, and we are entitled to have that natural state and get back to it if we've been taken away in any way, shape, or form from it. So tell us about enlightenment as our natural state.
Yeah, thank you. I came into a spiritual teaching that taught that there were only a few masters that were enlightened, and that we would work toward enlightenment, and one day perhaps we would be enlightened. It was a process. And somewhere along my path, and I think it was really when I was blessed with having my outer structure crumble, I really had an opportunity to connect very deeply at that point with my beingness. And I recognized, what if enlightenment or awakening was actually our natural state? And I began really noticing small children and seeing their presence and their awe and their wonder. And it was there that I recognized that the spiritual journey isn't about learning. It's about unlearning, dismantling, and letting go of all those collections of stories and beliefs and ideas about myself and the world. And so it was really the great remembering of the truth of who we are, rather than believing that it was something we needed to attain. So it really shifted my entire journey dramatically at that point, recognizing it's essentially who and what we are.
Absolutely. Every child is born with their soul and their memories and their desires to enjoy a fruitful, positive life within them. They have it. They never lost it. And then it's a matter of trying to retrieve it. It's buried deep within that divine spark of our connection to all of life. And thank you for saying that about the children, because that is the truth. We want our children to hold that, not take it away from them. We want parents and teachers to learn how to respect and honor that, because there's a new group of children being born right now, maybe for the last 20 years, who are bringing in such wonderful spiritual gifts. And they will be the leaders that will help bring about the change, where we'll know everybody can be enlightened. It's not just for a few. We're all going there in the right time.
Yes.
It will be for everyone. Now we go on to think about, can we raise consciousness on our own? Our own consciousness, and also the collective consciousness. How do we go about working on that?
Well, I think there's a few things in my own journey and what I've seen in working with clients that really assist. Part of it, fundamentally, is creating a safe place where we can dismantle some of these structures of knowing and return to this essential truth that we are. So imagine it's like, there's this beautiful, bright light shining within us, and we've covered it with all these different things. So sometimes that's spiritual community. Sometimes that's great work with a therapist or a spiritual guide or a coach of some sort. But in some way, creating a safe container and a safe space for us to dismantle and let go of some of these, you know, what were once strategies to help us survive that are now preventing us from actually experiencing our true nature. So that's a couple of things, and, you know,
that's exactly what people need to do. They need to know in every experience there is an opportunity for them to go within and to find another truth and love of life from that. But also, you did mention karma, and karma is not an outside force, but a repetitive thinking, the same idea about ourselves, about the world, and always getting the same results. So working on karma is another very important part of the process you just mentioned. Now, a lot of people have trouble with this. I've thought long and hard about this over the years, and I have an answer, and I know your answer will probably be very similar to mine, because it's the truth. What is the difference between spirituality and religion?
Oh, yes. What a beautiful question. And that, I think it's on the forefront of so many people's minds right now, because as we enter the 21st century, what I'm witnessing is people wanting a deep sense of spirituality that may or may not, and, you know, for some it will include religion and some it won't. Religion really is a framework to try to assist people to having a spiritual experience or a spiritual awakening. The issue with religion is it becomes dogmatic, right? So it becomes a belief system. Religions are, if you believe this, then you will get this, or maybe if this book has the answers, or this one leader has the answers. So religion really, in a lot of ways, has an egoic structure because it's about concepts and ideology.
Yeah, sometimes it's limiting. Whereas spirituality, what is that?
Yeah, spirituality is infinite. It's an infinite journey inward.
Yes, it is a personal connection to all that is and a dedication to personal self-growth, self-actualization, from an intuitive inner connection to the light you just mentioned before, to the spark of our eternal essence, and that a person needs to find on their own, not through any belief system or structure which sometimes informs them that perhaps they're not on the right way to discover that. So they're very different. They're very, very different. One is more personal and can be found anywhere, in any place, in any time, with any other people around, and not necessarily through book learning. Very, very good. Yes, that's very important that people start to be aware that they are different. I want to thank you, T.J. Woodward, author of Conscious Being, for offering through personal stories and deep mystical truths a powerful philosophy showing the benefits of spiritual transformation as we shift into a deeper awareness of our authentic inner wisdom. For more information and to accelerate your own development and purchase this book, go to consciousbeingbook.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, TJ Woodward and I have explored the way that many people can now follow their instinctive and intuitive search for wholeness and happiness, both in the physical world and in the development of self. In regards to that, TJ wrote, "Until I recognized my life was being created 100% by what I was projecting, I could not experience true freedom. Releasing our false notions about ourselves and about life in general is how we uncover the deeper, essential truth that will set us free. Spiritual psychology recognizes the existence of the transcendent aspect of human beings, as well as the separate physical self. It encompasses the full range of our existence rather than merely the visible human aspect. This enables us to integrate the different aspects of ourselves into a whole. Just like two sides of the same coin, our transcendent or spiritual self and our earthly human self, although apparently diametrically opposed to each other, are intrinsically one and the same." TJ and I would have you recognize that the world might be in greater turmoil than ever as we grow and develop as spiritual beings having a physical life, learning to find the divine spark of God within our essence. It is the only way to recognize that we are all one life force under one creative evolving energy, and that our differences are not nearly as important as our similarities. We must all move forward, overcoming beliefs that separate us, to find the heartfelt energy of love and compassion for life and its vulnerabilities that make us real. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear the experiences and visions of my extraordinary guests who in one way or another are the messengers of necessary and hopeful growth and change for our personal and collective journey through life. Shows can also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you.